The Shortcode Podcast is a proud member of the MedEd Media Network. Inspiration, information, and guidance on your journey to medical school and beyond at mededmedia.com.
Meandering in the margins of medicine, it's the Shortcode Podcast.
Weird news,
fresh views,
helpful clues, and interviews
by students for students.
Subscribe to our weekly show at theshortcoat.com.
Welcome back to the Shortcoat Podcast, a production of the University of Iowa Carver College of Medicine. I'm Dave Etler. Oh, hi, Sahana Arumagam.
Hello.
I didn't see you co-hosting over there. Oh my God, it's Mason LaMarche.
Hello,
startled
Dave.
Me.
I try sometimes.
Satan's Flonase. It's Emma Barr. It's Emma Barr. You scared the crap out of me.
I can be pretty scary sometimes.
And now that I really look, Nick Lind, I see you over there on that microphone.
Yeah, I was.
You can't hide from me.
I was trying.
Well, now that you're here, I'd like to thank you for joining me on today's episode. Mason, you remember us talking about your friend, Mr. Bauman's penchant for sketching his poop?
Yes, sadly I do.
Or penchant, as as intern Joel from England likes to say. Go ahead and recap for our listeners real quick. What was the what were we talking about?
So we were talking about there was some new research that was using the images of poop to like help diagnose diseases for people and kind of like feed into a machine learning algorithm. And I had a friend from high school who's been on this. This project for much longer, back to the point of in high school, he would draw pictures of his poop and also then describe the process.
Yeah, I recall you telling us that. I recall we made a couple of allegations, specifically that he must be a murderer, that this is a thing that only dudes do. Well, your friend, Mr. Bauman, sent in an audio clarification. Let's hear from him.
All right, everybody. I would just like to comment on the poop gate, the poop log, all that. Won't lie, I skipped to the part in which the poo log was described. And first of all, not a murderer, but I'll take the Ted Bundy comparison. Being compared to Zac Efron is okay.
Oh.
However, you'd be surprised about of the amount of people that contributed to the poo log. Left that bad boy out in my early college days and have no less than 15 people sketch, categorize, rate everything of their poo. Yes, even chicks. No, I'm not a murderer. So I think poo and poo logs get a bad rap. Thank you for mentioning me again. Not a murderer.
I think that's what you would say if you were a murderer.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would be like, yep, totally murderer.
I like the name poo log. That's a good name.
It does have a ring to it.
Yeah.
I just like that he kept this book and like hung it out by the toilet so that people could use it and then encouraged it. Like it wasn't even just a
you can't log you can't reliably log your poop unless it's right there ready to go.
That's true, you can't forget at that point.
Yeah.
When he publishes it, it should be called Stool Stories.
Beautiful.
Nice. Very nice.
Oh, I love it.
Well, we stand corrected. Sketching one's poop is clearly an activity anyone can enjoy regardless of gender or gender expression. It's not weird at all, but a fun and creative activity. Excellent work, Mr. Bauman. We've got a listener question from an anonymous listener who I will call Rib Sparkle Farts. Rib wants to know what you guys have to say about mind over matter, I guess. Here we are.
Hey, Short Code Podcast. I have a big question. I want to know how much mentality goes into getting better. Like, let's say you have a common cold. I feel like a few times around very important times in my life, like an exam, I've just willed myself into either feeling better or actually becoming healthy. And I want to know if that's actually real. Also, another thing, can I be allergic to haircuts? I always get sick after a haircut. Long question, double question. I hope it gets answered. Thank you so much.
Of course it will get answered. That's what we're here for, to answer these important questions. What do you think, Mason?
Oh, I know who this anonymous caller is.
Do you? Let's not mention
Yeah.
Let's not mention his name.
We won't mention
I guess it could also
name.
Be a her.
It is a he in this situation.
Oh, okay. Oh, see, now you've given away there.
You know the rib sparkle farts?
Me and rib sparkle farts go way back. Go way back to the seventh grade. So, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
We're really...
sixth grade. Wow.
Before I posted this, I did not know that this was yet another one of Mason's ridiculous friends.
Yeah, there's too many of them. And after the Bauman episode came out, a lot of people were like, we're going to call in and get our own questions answered. Makes it work. I was like, no, we don't need to do this. No,
hey, look, bring it on.
Rib Sparkle Farts has brought it on, or Sprinkle Farts. But to the point, I don't even remember his question. Sparkle Farts.
Yeah, he wants to.
Sprinkle Farts.
He wants to know.
It's like sprinkling farts.
Sprinkle Farts?
Yeah.
All right. What are we. I mean, it's not his real name. His real name is Rib Sparkle Farts. But. mind over matter. Let's debate this. Let's really tear into it. You know, can he use his mind to enhance his immune system such that he is able to will himself back to health?
Yeah, to an extent, maybe. I mean, there's the placebo effect. Mm-hmm. So it's like the same thing. You feel better because you think you're taking something that's effective, and you know, it there seems to be some additional reaction from your immune system. So yeah, positive thoughts that might help you in some cases.
I think about like yoga or mindfulness or like meditation. Those are all like mental activities you can do that they think might also like improve your immune function and things like that.
Yeah, even like spiritual.
Yeah,
like prayer and things often help patients.
I'm reminded of, you know, you commonly hear this with people who are very, very ill. You know, maybe they have cancer, or maybe they have a terminal illness, and you hear they're a fighter. And to me, that says that they are going to will themselves to, you know, fight their, you know, very serious illness, that they're able to, you know, do something. I don't know. I wonder if this has ever been studied. I could have looked it up to see if this has ever been studied. In fact, I think I meant to, and I didn't do my job because, you know, I'm a busy man. I had a whole studio to reorganize this week. What do you think? So, you know, have you heard people say this? Come on, Mason. Reach into that endless depth of...
Yeah, Masonpedia is a little blank on the subject, but I feel like I've heard a lot of, like... either anecdotal experiences of like, you know, you just put your mind to it and you get over it. I almost think of like the opposite corollary of like, after I get done with like a long week of like really stressful things, I immediately get sick that weekend. So it's like the reverse factor. Your mind wills yourself to get through a week because of like the stress of everything. And then all of a sudden, like you let go and your brain's just like, yeah, I'm done holding back the floodgates. You're going to get every cold in the world.
I have a friend who claims to, you know, to have a similar problem, you know, pushes himself because of maybe a project or a deadline or, you know, something like that. And then his immune system shits the bed. And
I recently read a book, Man's Search for Meaning. I don't know if anybody has read that. But the author basically was in one of the concentration camps in Germany. And he was a psychiatrist. And he noted, he like, obviously, like, examined people's, like, psychiatric states while he was in the concentration camps. And he noticed that like people who had more hope and had like saw a meaning for their life would do better like physically, and people who had no hope would like pass away or you know, not do well physically. So I guess
There's broken heart syndrome, right? This is
Takotsubo cardiomyopathy. Yeah, that's a favorite.
Say
of
that again. Say, wait a minute, I'm gonna save it.
Takotsubo. Oh, Dave's face. Cardiomyopathy.
Ooh, that is nice.
It's like the favorite thing on like social media for physicians because it's something like you never see, but it's talked about all the time, where it's on every like episode of Grey's Anatomy or House or whatever. So
yeah, this is the this is the phenomena where, you know, somebody close to somebody else passes away, and then that person passes away soon after, often attributed to cardiac events, I think, things like that. So you know, that could be mind over matter, I guess. Yeah.
We also recently learned in one of our lectures, well, our lecturer said this, that young men tend to be the wimpiest people and elderly women tend to be the last ones to complain. So if this person is a young man, maybe he's just complaining too much.
Well, I mean, he claims it can will himself into health.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then on the flip side of it,
cuts his hair.
Cuts his hair, and I think he's just. I think it's possible your rib that you're just patronizing, especially sickly barbers.
Mm.
Rib is not paying for quality care for his hair.
I see.
Actually, I'm not sure. He has nice hair, so.
He does.
Yeah, it's nice.
Explain, describe his hair to us.
It's like.
In detail. In detail, please.
In deep detail. So it used to, I think he's been keeping it shorter, but like it's a very light blonde hair.
Uh-huh.
And when it's like long, it flows, it waves, not unlike Dave's hair in the 90s. But.
No, it didn't flow in waves. It exploded in Brillo. Okay. Rib. Start keeping a log. Start keeping
a hair log.
Not a poo log, a hair log. And we'll see if this is really true. Without the scientific method, your claims mean nothing.
But you know, if he's recording it and thinking about it and thinking, oh, I'm going to get sick because I'm getting a haircut, would he then just get sick?
That's because he's thinking about it.
I mean,
if
he already has the superpower of being able to heal himself, I see no reason why he can't have the opposite stupid superpower.
Yeah.
Or it could be every time he starts to feel sick, he thinks, oh, I need to get a haircut. And then it's just coincidence.
These are the pitfalls of anecdotal evidence. Isn't
you know what? Every 2 weeks, just schedule it. Yeah. Get your haircut.
You're going to be
month.
One miserable bastard.
Every month.
Yeah, that's more reasonable.
Just, every 2 weeks.
Rib passes away within a year.
I can't lose Rib. Him and I have some very important world domination plans. So we can.
Oh, wow.
Do you want to?
Yeah, I would happily share. I would happily share our plans for dominating the world to a larger audience. So, does everyone know that like if you give like high amounts of oxygen to animals, they tend to grow bigger? Like really? It's a thing in places.
Yeah, I think I've read something about that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something where like you're essentially pushing their metabolic capacity and they get bigger. So, our
are
idea.
Humans included in that?
It's a good question. There's also like the trade-off of like oxidation damage because of that high exposure. But in theory, if we're doing with animals, not to make people upset, but you're going to not be upset with what animal we chose to breed and enlarge. So we want to to breed spiders in high O2 environments.
No. I will not allow that.
Well, but Dave, you want to be on my side for this because when we breed these spiders, one thing is spiders have like harder exterior surfaces. And if we're making them bigger and bigger and then breeding the biggest ones with the biggest ones, eventually we will have an army of very large rideable spiders, which I think is the number one weapon that could take over the world.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, okay. It could be this could be necessary for the coming AI uprising, you know, that will have some weapon to fight back, right?
What's the number one way to beat AI? Insects. Since the beginning of computers, insects have destroyed AI.
Yeah, that's why that's why the term bug is used, because it came from actual bugs chewing away at wires inside computers. So.
Exactly. They found a moth in one of the first like malfunctioning computers. So I'm just saying, you guys.
You didn't know that?
I'm just saying. Spiders will save us, and it's all thanks to the brilliant work of Rib and I and our great brains on this project.
Have you planned out how you keep the spiders from turning against humans?
Mm.
So we're okay with them turning against humans, just not us, but we're their dads, so we like are hand feeding them. They get used to our smell.
Yeah. You should be able to rear them with appropriate values.
Yeah, like any good fathers, we would give them strong values on not eating good humans.
Strong moral compass.
Yeah, strong moral compass.
Yeah, like what was the lion tamer guy? How'd that work out for him? The two lion tamers?
Oh yeah, the Vegas
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one who got attacked by his
whose
lion,
names are
our tiger,
completely
or
escaping me.
Why
from
the,
is it Sigmund?
Yeah,
Roy?
Sigmund and Roy. I want to say Sigmund and Freud. Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sigmund Freud, the great lion tamer.
If we're Siegfried and Roy and Mason and Rib go down in history, I guess that's okay. I guess we're okay with that.
Yeah. Well, watch out for those spiders.
Yep, spider apocalypse. You guys know who's involved with it, but.
So, okay, I should say that I don't like spiders at all, but I tolerate very tiny spiders.
Mm. Oh, this is not the project for you, Dave.
And I think there might be a point at which once spiders get to a certain, like, I don't have a problem with tarantulas, though I don't encounter them often, but I think I'd be okay with holding a tarantula. But, you know, you put a medium-sized spider anywhere near me and I'll probably pee my pants. So maybe, you know, I will be okay with giant spiders.
Spiders the size of horses.
Yeah,
that's the goal. They have built-in battle armor already. Like,
yeah. I love it. Okay. Sparkle Farts, Rib, thank you for sending in your question. If any of Mason's other friends are listening, please send in your what are clearly going to be very serious questions for us to consider on the Shortcode Podcast.
I'm surprised your friends listen. None of mine will listen.
I think I only got them to listen because of discussing my friend's poop log. So,
yeah,
I don't think they love me that much. Rib might, but no.
Well, let's keep this. Let's keep this gravy train going. I need to take a break here to ask you to look at the cover of this laptop I have in front of me. Look at it.
Ooh.
What do you see?
Ooh, a sticker.
That's right. It is a sticker of my own design. A circle, 4 inches in diameter, made of the finest vinyl and adhesive. I call it the Shortcoat Values sticker because it is an attractive, durable attestation to that which you as medical students aspire. Nick, say these words that encompass the circle in a clockwise direction starting at the top. Go.
Pluripotent.
Well, okay. Oh. All right. Capable of transforming into many things.
Collaborative.
Because when you work together, you raise everyone up.
Triumphant.
Medical school can feel downright impossible, but it is possible and you will succeed.
Courageous.
Because fear is normal, but facing fear and mastering it is paramount.
Principled.
A desire for money and prestige isn't enough to be a great physician. You must have integrity above all else.
Glorious.
If you could be all those other things, you will shine in ways you never imagined in this life. And our logo is in the middle because we will help. So pick up your sticker today over at theshortcoat.com/store for just $3.55, shipping included, with proceeds benefiting the Patient Advocate Foundation and their mission to help patients and their families pay off their medical bills in a crazy system that would otherwise bankrupt them. Go over to theshortcoat.com/store and check it out.
I think we need to take that clip and like turn it into its own little like meditation so that when we're feeling down, we can just listen to Dave and Nick preaching to us.
Elaine sent in an interesting case study from the Journal of the American Medical Association on frontotemporal dementia, or FTD, one that has implications for us in the Writing and Humanities program. And the many medical students who are also artists. I don't know, tenuous connection there, but it's kind of cool. FTD sufferers experience progressive cognitive and functional decline and behavior changes, but sometimes the losses seem to lead to an enhancement or intensification of other skills, particularly suppression of brain activity in one part of the brain leads to the release of creativity. Super interesting. The case study is of two patients, but I'll talk about just one of them. Here are some images, and I'll post these on Instagram along with a sensitive content warning. So we'll start here. This the top here, we have some early work. We have a still life on the left, got some bread and grapes in a vase, pretty good. On the right, we've got a sort of bucolic seaside scene of maybe a father and his child gathering stuff from the ocean, a couple dogs. And then we go to his later work. Down here, we've got a centaur apparently doing lots of things with naked people.
Is he an 8-pack?
He's got a pack.
He's got
maybe
a lot here.
It may be a 10-pack. And then in the middle, we've got people cavorting naked around a tree. It's going on over here. And then over here, I don't even know how to describe this, but there's a lot going on here that humanized have never seen. it's clearly a progression of something, some sort of change has occurred in this artist, who's very good, technically very good. I think one of the things he complains about is that no one wants to buy his art anymore. So that's kind of a problem for him.
Hmm.
Here's another, and I'll put these on Instagram. You can go check them out right now, the Shortcodes. Wow. Here's his magnum opus, and I know it's hard for you guys to see.
Oh.
That's amazing.
The article calls it his magnum opus. It is actually sculpture plus painting. And I don't even know what to say about this. It's billions and billions of, well, maybe not billions, hundreds and hundreds of demons doing crazy thing. He is compelled to do this. He no longer enjoys his art. He is compelled to make these insane images. He's still around, still 70. He's 73, still painting. I think it's very interesting because, you know, we often talk about artists' creativity as being something that, you know, that Rib, I think, can get behind. It transcends mere matter, as something divine, perhaps. But this phenomenon says something different to me about human creativity, which is that a significant portion of it lies within the brain.
Makes me feel like I might be creative at some point, but I don't know if I'm ever going to get to that level. Holy cow. Yeah. For people who look up these images, don't look them up with like people you are not comfortable seeing naked images around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's there's nudity and also some very odd things happening.
That's, you know, cool. Is this one that's also a sculpture, like on presentation somewhere?
I have no idea. Okay. It didn't say.
And is the sculpture one the same? That's the same patient.
Same guy.
Right?
Yeah.
So this patient has frontal temporal dementia, right?
Right.
Wow. All right. And
so
looking at the progression, I mean, it started in the 80s?
Or yeah.
I wonder when he was diagnosed. I didn't read the article. So.
Oh, he's 75 now?
Yeah.
And his dementia started in the 80s?
That's what I'm trying to get the, like, when did his dementia start? Because, you know, he's doing really well that he's able to still... You know,
well, you know, I seem to recall reading that, you know, things like music and creativity and all that kind of stuff, at least the appreciation of it is among the last things to fade in people with Alzheimer's. Huh. You know, sometimes people are, you know, people who are otherwise, you know, unable to interact with the world very much anymore, suddenly get sort of reanimated by exposure to things like music or you know, other things. Music especially is apparently pretty important. Mm-hmm. Kind of cool.
Yeah, that's,
I don't, you know, I'm amazing. Not hanging this on my wall.
You don't like having a bunch of demons hanging on your wall?
I feel it might be off-putting. just a little bit. It's too bad this guy is so, you know, remains so talented and yet people don't seem to. I'm sure there's a market.
Yeah,
for this sort of thing, just not the one that he intended. So, way back in episode 131 in May of 2016, we talked about a meeting at Harvard Medical School that was freaking people out. Harvard was hosting a closed door meeting with 150 handpicked scientists, lawyers, and entrepreneurs to discuss how to put together a synthetic genome, potentially a human genome, from scratch in a lab. One of those highlighted was a biologist named George Church. He's the guy who launched the Personal Genome Project and is doing all kinds of stuff, from altering pig genes to allow for human transplantation, and does weird stuff like subsisting for months on nutrient broth used to sustain cell lines. So, hey, that's a tasting we got to have in the future. Can anybody get me some cell broth, cell nutrient broth? Is that something you can buy on Amazon?
Probably.
Yeah, I'm sure you could get your hands on it.
We just go talk to someone in microbiology and convince them to give us one. But
I could probably just go to the lab store and
do you think
I'd need an ID? I mean, I have an ID.
No, I don't even. I mean, well,
I got to charge it to an MFK.
You got to charge it to somebody. So I don't know.
Oh man.
How you? But I mean, yeah. theoretically, this is all possible.
I need a pen!
Theoretically, I'm skipping that week.
Yeah.
Staying away.
Put that on the sign up. Warn us.
We could, I mean, maybe we could add spices to it and actually.
I mean, we'll
make,
probably be in clinic, so.
True.
We're off the hook.
Future M1s,
yeah,
beware.
Good luck, M1s.
Anyway, he is back in the news, Georges, because he's creating an app to match potential dating partners based on their genetic compatibility. In other words, he seeks to eliminate human disease by pairing people such that they have the least risk of passing on illnesses and disabilities. It's pretty uncomfortably close to eugenics.
Mm-hmm.
That is selective breeding to promote desirable qualities in humans. The article I read in Popular Mechanics points out that eugenics takes many forms, some that we're more comfortable with than others, like adopting based on one's own family history of psychosis. So I don't want to, you know, pass on psychosis to my children, so I'm going to adopt a child. That would be considered, I think, by a lot of people, you know, okay.
Yeah.
And then there's less okay ones, like forced sterilization programs.
Like actual dating apps, like if you put in your preferences, like, yeah, you chose those preferences, and so it's not necessarily as much of like a black box to you. But for someone, I mean, like the eugenic stuff aside, I think this whole idea is problematic in general, but like the eugenic stuff aside, like just like as a consumer, like using this, like you have no idea what it's actually,
yeah,
like selecting for or against, and like who gets to decide what,
yeah, you're
is,
not
like,
presented
the disease.
Yeah, you're not, yeah, presented with any other choices in this app other than people who are genetically compatible,
right? And like whose idea, like who gets to define what is genetically compatible or the, yeah, diseases that are not like quote unquote desirable anymore, or like,
well,
you know, blah blah, like who, like how do they pick, right? There's so many different things, like what would get left out, what would, yeah, get put in, like,
I mean, there's sort of, I don't know much about genetics, but I know that there's sort of the Mendelian model of genetics where, you know, it's very simple, you know, two genes paired together that are bad equals, you know, an offspring with a defect of some sort, right? Mm-hmm. So that's pretty easy, but not all diseases are like that. And so, yeah, right? I mean, does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It also seems like just like might be like a cost prohibitive thing. Like you would have to be able to afford like yourself to get genetically, yeah, tested before you can like put your data in this app and like get matched with other people who are
getting cheaper all the time. I mean,
is it like a 23andMe thing where you, yeah, send in like saliva?
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
They've got to have their own procedures to do this.
This seems like, I don't know, it seems weird for Dr. Church, because like I feel like he was someone who also proposed the idea of like your genetic code should be like your own currency. So it almost like, it's like if you're going to give your genetic code to this dating service, like is this a transaction? Is this, I don't know. And then, yeah, we're getting into the complications, like the ethics of it. And like genetics, like the one thing I do know about genetics, it is not simple. Like I studied it in undergrad, and as you study it, like you just realize none of this makes sense. Like Mendelian is like such a small portion of things we have to consider, and we just know so little. So
works with beans. Maybe not with heaps.
Yeah, yeah, we like peas. And that even happened when Mendel was doing his original experiments, as someone challenged him to use a different species and all his work collapsed. And that's why we lost like Mendel's work for such a period of time, is because,
oh, I didn't know that.
It was discredited because he couldn't replicate it in a species that was a triploid genome instead of like humans, a diploid genome. So it caused some complications. Shows we don't know much about genetics. And then also the thing with this is some of these diseases have arose like through history as protective mechanisms, like cystic fibrosis. I believe if you're a heterozygote, so you only have one defective gene, it was a protective feature against, I think it's yellow fever.
Oh.
So I don't know how this happens if you completely eliminate some of these classic diseases, or at least like eliminate them from the genetic pool. Like, yes, we want therapies to eliminate them from like causing problems with people, but what happens when you start playing with these genes and we don't understand downstream consequences?
I'm also kind of wondering, like, who would actually, like, care about these things that much when they're going on dating apps?
Yeah,
like, oh, I'm going to ask their family history
of Harvard
cancer.
Nerds.
And, yeah.
George Church and his ilk. Is George Church single, I wonder?
Yeah, there's probably some med students that'd be really into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ew. No. Oh, God. It would be people who have money, people who are social climbers. Yeah. I would imagine would be into that, just because it's, I don't know.
Maybe if you know sort of compatible with those ideas, history of it, and like you know your care, I can see
some big genetic things in your family.
I don't know, something about it. Just, gives me the willies.
But then
I can't
you're
really
like
put my finger on why
you're selecting with other people who have other like genetic potential genetic disorders.
Right. Yeah, but as long as they don't align, as long as they don't.
But then you could end up having a offspring with two like odd genes that could create consequences for their offspring because you just but I mean just do it the old-fashioned way. I think that's the
Did you consider your spouse's genetic fitness when you were like, look honey, I really am into you but I'm a little concerned about that feature on you or whatever.
Let's sequence our genomes.
That thing you have in your background. All right. Well, seems I don't know. Some of this stuff seems inevitable to me. Like it's going to happen. So if George doesn't do it, somebody's going to do it. It'll either fail or it'll succeed.
It's going to be Gattaca.
Yeah. 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 All right.
I would love to see a team of genetic counselors on this too, because that's the other thing is like, Dr. Church is a like PhD and he understands a lot of stuff, but like I don't know, I feel like when we talk about these like risk assessment things and how this is going to impact family planning, and it just seems like something that needs a lot more thought. And it sounds like, did it show up in like a 60 Minutes interview where he's like, yeah, this would be a great idea? I was like, that's not when you pitch those half ideas that sound a little too dangerous to eugenics. Like,
well, this guy isn't a complete, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, idiot. I mean, he's pretty well regarded as a scientist, so I don't know if scientists, I don't know if bench lab scientists are the best people to be arranging for our social future, but you know.
Yeah.
It's the holiday season. And as you know, my love for you podcast hosts is like the sea. It's big, salty, it's kind of wet. It's also very, very deep. I have brought you a gift to celebrate the season. I noticed on a certain website named after a rainforest that there are snack boxes from various countries.
Oh,
so
I
bought some. Now, I thought I could use this as not only as a gift giving moment and as a generation of my prodigious generosity, which is well known around the world, but also as a teaching moment, because it's important for physicians to have both cultural competency and excellent senses. So we have some treats from all of these are from one country on this earth. Your job is to taste them one at a time, enjoy them. And by the way, I know I have a bit of a reputation for making y'all do and eat weird stuff, but these are all legit things, not things that I have made. And I want you to describe them as you taste them lovingly and fully. Give them a name in English based on what you're experiencing. And then at the end, we'll decide which country these are all from. Let's start with number one. Start with number one. Is that one? Okay, yes. Wow. Sahana is just going for it.
You're going to like pop
them
all.
Just from feeling them, they're very like, kind of sticky and like gelled together. They're like these little small brown things with little.
Yeah, they were obviously I've chopped them up for you so that you can each have one.
It smells. I can't. I have some food allergies, so I'm going to be using my nose.
This task. All right. Yeah.
It smells like those, not fruit roll-ups, but the one that's like a big circle that comes in like
fruit leather.
Yeah, fruit leather. But there's another one that's like a big.
I'm getting taste of tamarind.
Oh. Yeah, that too.
All right. Yeah. Wow.
It tastes really
I have
good.
No idea. I'm glad actually that Emma is has some food allergies, right? Because then I get to.
What do you think?
There's a little spice there, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like hot, not hot, but like
ooh,
a little.
I like this.
Yeah, I really like it.
Mason does.
Yeah, chili.
I don't know. It gives me this like it's almost like the texture is like those sour kids, but like the stretchy vine ones.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, they have a little sour, really nice and fruity.
Did you say these are only from rainforest countries?
No, no. That's just
Amazon.
I bought them on Amazon. Not a sponsor.
Okay, I'm sure that some listeners
nice try, though.
Get that either.
Anybody want to finish these off?
That's sure delicious.
Really I'll eat them.
Yeah.
Mm. Here, pass those back.
They taste like those like fruit more. You get from Trader Joe's that are like with the chili powder on them, like the dried mangoes
yeah.
or
yeah,
something
yeah.
like that.
I could
love
see this.
Those.
I could
like
see this being from Trader Joe's. I'm gonna borrow your pen there, Joel. If you were to name this, what would you say?
Like dried tamarind candy.
Mm-hmm. It's boring.
Spicy sour nibs.
spicy sour nibs.
Juicy pepper fruity.
That'll be the tagline.
Those are all adjectives.
That's my stripper name right there.
What did you call it?
Juicy pepper fruity. Yeah. I wish
I had like a palate cleanser.
I like this one.
All right. Well, we'll
I guess I got multiple.
We'll come back to to this. There's a this one is like what do you think it's like?
It almost looks like a Twizzler. Uh-huh. But like just one of the strings
Twizzlers.
Of the Twizzler.
But really tiny, yeah.
But
looks
like small. Yeah.
Twizzlers and soy sauce.
Almost like a spaghetti.
It smells savory,
like
not
a nice
sweet.
Crust on it of something.
And there's a sauce. There's a sauce that came with it in its separate package.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's the sauce has kind of maybe been absorbed.
Oh.
Which is always
it's
good.
It's probably better.
Hmm.
Is it savory or sweet?
It it's tastes sweet. Like Twizzler that is a little maybe
oh
like
old.
Chili
there's
like
extra in there. There's something extra in there, almost like
this tastes like the strawberry version of what we just ate. Like
yeah, it does have.
It's
like
the same thing only.
Yeah.
Twizzler like the pull and peel.
Mm, yeah,
Twizzler with like it's like you took Twizzlers and maybe a dab of soy sauce. And
really
some chili pepper and salt. Well, that would be the soy sauce.
Oh, I know what the flavor is because I've got it written right here. Mm. Mm. Do we want to? Do we want
a little like strawberry? Yeah, I'm only tasting strawberry. I don't taste any soy sauce.
Maybe I'm a little wrong.
Anything salty?
Just a little.
I got a little salt.
Oh, the stuff at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was.
You're a
about
little incorrect.
At the bottom.
I wish that's made test work.
I don't know.
That's why you get partial credit.
Yeah.
Let me try that
bad
boy
flavor,
again.
But I can't place my finger on it.
I'm gonna really delve down into the moisture at the bottom.
Yeah, the sauce tastes a little different.
Mm. It's like they're like little spaghettis like mm-hmm.
<It's>, that are bright red.
It's like
oh, that kicks it up a little bit.
It's almost like somebody thought that they were buying some sort of noodle, but they instead bought Twizzlers pull and peel. And decided to make a dish out of it.
Wow, that's something.
Like
anybody,
a savory dish.
Anybody want to?
Yeah, a couple.
What name would we?
That's good.
What name would we offer for this?
Spicy strawberry stringers.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Let's choose another word than spicy, though, because we've already used that one. I like the strawberry stringers one.
Soy.
Soy.
All right, that's it.
Let's see, cherry Twizzlers.
No.
With a kick.
Soy.
What'd you call it? Spicy, saucy strawberry? What?
Oh, no.
That breaks everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, this next one is not very cohesive. So, but it's all right if you make a mess. Just take a little bit. Don't pinch too hard.
This one looks like a very like firm, dry tofu.
Okay.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was a cookie.
Come on, take it all in.
It looks
take
like
it all in.
Trying,
it
apart. Based
no,
on their expressions,
good.
It doesn't look like it's cookie.
Mason no. made a very.
I'm a very picky
place.
Eater, too.
It smells
that
like
actually,
peanut butter, kind of.
I want
kind
a
of.
Bigger piece. I got like this tiny it's, little.
It smells good.
I have not tasted most of these, but this one I couldn't resist.
Yeah, it's I kind of like it.
Mm. There's definitely a lot of peanut butter in it, a little bit of like a chalky flavor.
It's got some kind of nut.
Yeah, there's for sure peanuts in there.
I know this flavor, too. I can't.
It's like. Is it like milk?
Is it like nougat? Mm. I don't really know what
like
nougat is.
Like
milk
powdery.
It tastes like, yeah.
I want to call this like cream of peanut blocks.
Like blocks. Is there coconut?
Mm.
I almost need to try.
I actually really like this one.
It's a peanut-y.
I would rate this highly.
But is there coconut?
Mason looks less
well.
Sure.
I like it
I need
after 10 seconds of eating
it. It just falls apart.
I don't really. It tastes like a milk based thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chalky nut blocks.
I don't get the coconut.
Love it.
No.
Chalky nut blocks.
It's like plaster. With
how do you know what plaster tastes like?
Plaster with nuts and sugar. And yeah.
All right.
So
yeah, I like
plastery nut sugar.
Plastery nut sugar.
So the next one is square and brownish color. Looks like
this
hard.
Looks also, yeah.
It kind of looks like a tongue. Leather,
like, yeah. Oh, it's a.
It doesn't have a scent that I can pick
so
up.
This looks like Airhead, well, but it's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, kind of.
But it's brownish.
Yeah, this came. This came
I
in
didn't
one.
Like it.
Oh. This came Mason, in one.
Mason's gonna lose.
Mason's
it.
Out. I should have brought some water in for you.
Oh, I know like what these are. Like I've had these before.
It looks like it'd be like meat flavored fruit leather.
It's like this type of berry.
This isn't bad at all.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's not that bad.
So this came in. This came in like one piece that I chopped up into, or one piece I chopped up.
That's not
so
great,
it's long,
though.
It's a flat rectangle, brown. It's spicy.
Cool. Yeah, why is everything so spicy?
It's a spicy. This is the peanut nut sugar.
It has this weird thing.
That wasn't very spicy at all.
No, peanut nut sugar was great
compared to this.
Yeah.
It tastes like a tangy berry.
Yeah.
It's
kind of hits me in the back of my throat.
It's got a tang to it.
It tastes like Pseudomonas aeruginosa. Like it tastes like a sneaker. I was not a fan. Spicy sneaker.
I think we accidentally gave you the wrong one.
Yeah. I've never eaten Pseudomonas.
But you smelled it.
All right. So what English name shall we give this?
Mm.
It's gritty like sugar once you bite into it. I thought it was going to be chewy like super chewy, the kind that you have to like leave in your mouth and like gnaw on for a while before you eat it.
I'm really good with foods and I eat just about everything. This is a little tough.
Really?
I'll be honest. Like yeah. It gets me in the back of my throat.
Is it ginger?
Feels like maybe it's going to like close
no,
it off.
Wasabi?
Maybe I'm having an allergic reaction.
Maybe you are. That's frightening. I do have an EpiPen in my pocket.
That's good. I'll be fine.
I'll call it like tangy berry leather.
Tangy berry leather.
This looks spicy.
Next one.
Don't do that to me. Don't say it looks spicy. So now I'm in
it's
trouble.
It's like red, bright red food.
Oh.
It also looks look dried. A lot of these look dried.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of dried fruit.
That
dried.
Really helps
well, you're
when
online,
you're buying,
I guess it
buying it from Amazon.
Oh, this doesn't. This smells just like the Pseudomonas.
I just want to point
too.
Out, Mason, that I have oh, more, I've a lot
so
more cool. in here with many more different weird things.
This one looks like it's like dipped in chili.
I kind of like
does.
This.
It looks like chili powder again.
That yeah. last one, by the way, that last one is stuck in my molars and kind of hurts a little bit.
I don't
Dave,
like
I'm
it.
Done with this game. This is awful.
I changed my mind. I liked it at first.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
After a minute, though, it gets hard.
That is hard. The spiciest one we've gotten. Was it number
it's
4?
It's salty,
it
too. It
even
starts
taste
out
that spicy. It's just this, like,
it starts out salty.
Yeah.
Sour flavor in the back
it's
of my
sour?
It's very sour.
Throat.
Again,
yeah.
It's spicy.
It's a little spicy, yeah. Not over the top spicy, but a little too sour.
Ooh. Ooh. Hmm. I don't know.
This one has more of a sneakery taste to me.
Yeah.
I'm glad we can agree eventually. what's a good name for this?
You're still sniffing on the same one?
No,
or is
it's
that
the,
just the one that was left
five.
Over?
Yeah.
Oh.
The same one.
Hmm. Okay. Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. That one,
The Devil's Taffy.
Yeah, okay.
It does taste like the Devil's Taffy. Yeah.
Definitely, like, all have chili powder on them, though.
Yeah. Sour and hot.
Maybe Dave just really spilled chili powder over the box or something.
That one tasted definitely like that, yeah. All right, last one.
I've forgotten all these now.
These look like potatoes.
Yeah.
This one's like yellow.
Ooh, are these mangoes?
Potatoes.
Now, this was, I have to say, this was actually in the form of a lollipop, and I broke it apart.
Oh.
I almost bit down super hard on it.
It's yeah, like so yellow with a brownish outside.
This I have also tasted because I couldn't resist.
I could get into this lollipop.
Go for it. You could.
Yeah.
See, here's the problem.
Mango.
Here's the problem.
Yeah, it's mango with
chili.
chili. Which
here's the problem with this is when I tasted it, I tasted it whole. So in other words, as you would a lollipop, you stick in your mouth and you like, suck you know, on lick on it or suck on it. It was the most hideous thing ever. And I think the fact that you're not getting that, I mean, you can ask Joel when I was testing this. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, because it's got like chili on the outside.
Oh yeah, it's like salt and chili.
Salt and chili. And so, on the inside, it's sweet and mango-y.
I like it.
It's hard candy.
I'm digging it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good though.
That's not what I expected out of this at all. I wish I could, and I couldn't share it with somebody else to say, here, this thing I sucked on, you try it.
Mm-hmm. I love chili covered mangoes. I could be like my primary diet, and I think I'd be happy.
What are we naming it? Nick's Delight.
Yeah. I have so more. All right, well, Nick's Delight. Nick's Delight. All right. Would you care to think about which country this is from?
I would say like somewhere South Asia, Southeast
Asia.
Yeah.
Okay.
For Nick's Delight?
Or for all of them?
Well, all of them.
They're
all of them are from the same country.
Oh. Yeah, I agree.
According to the box.
Interesting. So we need lots of chili.
Like India or Thailand or like.
Yeah, I can see India or Thailand somewhere in there.
What about the Philippines?
I
was thinking like peanuts.
Yeah, but they don't eat as much chili. Like they don't eat a lot of hot food. Like there's some, but it's not. Like Thailand would be, that makes a lot of sense.
But you guys seem to be focusing on Southeast Asia.
I could definitely see Central America or South America, though. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's just Nick's Delight biasing me.
It's got to be a place that has mangoes.
And tamarind.
And tamarind, yeah.
Okay.
India makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's a big country, too. Like, we're hitting.
There's a lot of opportunity for it to be in a lot of different locations in India. Nice and big.
I recommend going out and buying these boxes.
Yeah.
Because they're available from many different sellers and all that kind of stuff. And these actually struck me as being maybe a little elderly, that, you know, maybe they'd been on a shelf for a while and they were like, well, let's put them into boxes. Yeah.
Dave, is this a new sponsor alert?
Yeah. Mason just got a little puke face on. No, these are all from Mexico.
Really?
Oh. Mexico.
Huh.
The first one is named Squinkles Rellenos. That was what we called spicy sour nibs, juicy pepper fruity.
Nice.
Is the tagline. Sweet enchilada in strips, pineapple flavor with tamarind flavor filling. So you pegged that one. There's actually tamarind in several of these. The next one was saucy strawberry.
See?
That was what we called it.
Oh, that's what we
called it. They didn't name it soy. You were like, yes, we got it.
Right.
So
on.
Vindicated.
This was, the real name was Mini Lucas Salsaghetti. Sweet enchilada in strips, watermelon flavor with tamarind sauce.
Watermelon.
Watermelon. Oh. Tamarind sauce. I got you.
Everything has tamarind in it.
Yeah. Tamarind. Mm. I didn't
know they had a lot of tamarind in.
Is tamarind something that's, how do you know tamarind?
Because it's in a lot of like South Asian and Southeast Asian
right.
cooking.
So it's, okay. Next we had the chalky nut blocks or plaster nut sugar.
Awesome.
The real name is De La Rosa Mazapan.
Oh.
Which means?
Which basically probably means powdered peanuts.
Awesome.
Not plastered nut sugar.
Not until it's American reboot.
I studied abroad in Spain and they had a lot of that there.
I would say that. What?
I studied abroad in Spain and they also had that there.
So so you recognize that one.
That could have helped maybe push us to Mexico.
Yeah.
Next we had tangy berry leather, as we call it. The real name is pulparindo, hot and salted tamarind pulp candy.
So it's still tamarind. Okay.
Yeah, tamarind again.
Yeah.
We had the devil's taffy.
Just still half eaten in front of me. I did not like that.
I can't believe it. I mean, that wasn't the worst. All right. Its real name is Indie Mini Dedos, sweet, acidic, and piscosito. What the hell? What's piscosito, Joel?
Wasn't that a big like song?
Huh? Oh, there's no translation. Spicy and sour candy, chili powder, etc.
Is that like a berry or a fruit or something?
I don't know. Piscosito. if you know, listeners, let us know what piscosito is.
Just to be, we're singing a song about it.
Were you? Piscosito. Would you care to sing us? Let's sing a line from your new song then.
No, Justin Bieber already did it. It came out in like
oh, Despacito.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't mimic that.
I get it.
So can you eat tamarind like raw, or is it only made in? You can. Okay, I've never seen it before.
What is it? Is it a fruit?
It looks like a bean.
It
type
comes
thing?
In like a pod. All and right. Open and there's like.
Last, we have Nick's Delight, as we called it, or Vero Elotes.
The mango.
The mango.
Oh, the lollipop. Okay.
The lollipop.
This was the lollipop that I couldn't stand, but you guys were okay with because...
Yeah, it's really good.
Because I wish you could have gotten the original. I was like, we have to include this, but I only had one, and I had to split it up, and I think that's why you guys found it tolerable, because when I put it in my mouth, imagine... A hard candy made completely of solidified salt and chili powder.
That sounds great.
No hint of sweetness. Not a hint. And I cannot.
Well, you gotta like dig down. Well, dig down deep, Dave.
Well, that's what I did eventually, and then I was like, okay, well, this isn't quite so bad, but it's still hard. Okay. World of Snacks describes it as a blend of grilled corn and strawberry, flavored, covered in chili powder.
What? There's no mango in there?
Apparently not.
Huh.
Apparently not.
Interesting.
All right.
It doesn't taste like corn.
Or
I know corn. I'm from Iowa.
I know.
You're born in the corn.
I did not.
Molded by it.
I did not get grilled corn, but that's why. Apparently, on the outside, you know, on the outside, it had this sort of, you know, like corn-like nubs.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Scratched into or molded into it. So I guess that's what that was about. Mm. Well, anyway, I'm glad. I have more. That you are welcome to take from as you leave. I've got some things that look like injectors.
I'm gonna shoot some sugar straight in my veins.
Like those baby bottles.
Well, didn't we used to do that, like pixie sticks?
Sugar. I mean, that's basically, you can take a look. But that is our show. Guys, thank you for being my co-hosts today.
Sure. Anytime, Dave.
Yes,
And of course, thank you, Shortcoats, for making us a part of your week. If you're new here and you like what you heard today, subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever else fine podcasts are available. Shortcoats, I remind you that your questions are vital, crucial to this show because they mean the show can be what you want it to be about. Send questions and comments to theshortcoats@gmail.com or you can leave a message at 347-SHORT-CT. Talk about it on the show instead of the dribble that I come up with. While your podcast app is open, we could use some stars and a review to let us know we're doing right by you. iTunes user The Burr did that recently, saying very nice things about us. Thank you, The Burr. The show is made possible by a generous donation by Carver College of Medicine, student government, and ongoing support from the Writing and Humanities Program. Our opening music is by Dr. Vox, and our closing music is by Catmosphere. Talk to you in 1 week.